The reading today is Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30. It's entitled, Rest for the Weary. And I was quite weary this morning. I woke up at 5 o'clock and I've been sitting since then. At that time, Jesus said, Yes, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father. And no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son has chosen to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen.
Okay. Well, I was cheated. Should have won their sleeping nights. Well, morning. If you don't know me yet, my name is Nick Nick Humphreys. I'm the pastor here. At the Baptist Church. Now, I don't know how many of you this week have been caught up with a temporary traffic light on Raymond's Way. Me? Several times. And it's like, oh yes. And you have to sit and wait. Or maybe you've had that experience in other places where you've been caught in temporary traffic lights and you think, oh, are they working? Are they not working? Now, when I was on one of my trips and stuck in that system of the temporary lights. Let's do that. There we go. As I queued at one point, somebody decided, obviously, that the lights were changing, they were on green, and I was pulling up. The next thing I know, I look in the mirror, and there's a bloke already out in the lane, getting, I'm ready to go past. And I'm thinking, I'm not even pulled out yet. And then it made me chuckle, because actually there are times when I do that. When I'm approaching lights, thinking they're green, get out, come on, get out, they're green, I'm not gonna get stuck. And I've gone now. Obviously, I didn't overtake them, they've gone as well, but it's like, I'm already out, ready to get down past those lights. And it just made me chuckle, because I was having that experience with somebody behind me. And I was just thinking, also made me chuckle, because I was obviously thinking about this morning, and about rest. And about the fact that actually, it's important to have rest. But we live in a society where we live in an action-orientated world. An action-orientated world. I saw that picture and thought, well, that's a nice one. So I'll use that. We're often driven, aren't we, by tasks that we need to get done, to get things worked out. We've got to fit 1,101 things into the day. Anybody like that? Yeah. I know of a few in this church because I've had conversations with people and it's like, gotta get this done, this done, this done. Now my wife is great at that. She's good at creating lists, but then she doesn't finish the list. She adds to the list. And maybe some of you are like that. And it's like, I can't rest yet. I've got this to do, I've got this to do, I've got this to do. I'm not one of those. I'll have things I've got to get done, but once I've got them done, that's fine. I'm quite lucky in a way. There are people that go, oh, I can't rest, and they can't sleep. I can get to the end of the day, gone. And it doesn't really affect me. I'll sleep through, and then Sharon moans because I've kept her up, because obviously I'm snoring, or I don't believe I am. If anything, I know she does. That's true. So, but you know, this thing of rest. We are busy, and we're always trying to find things that we can get done. Things that have to happen, especially when you become a family, you've got children. It's like, I've got to get this, I've got to get this, I've got to get this done. And if you haven't got children, it's, I've got to get this done. Work, things start to invade our lives, don't they? Well, they invade mine. If we had to identify factors that impact our rest, I would suggest that one of the major factors that affects us and our rest is stress. Stress. As we consider God offers rest, which is our passage, our focus for this morning, if I want to focus less on having a day of rest, but more on finding rest for those who are weary and burdened. That's me. And it's you. I'm not going to get you to put your hand up because I can take all of you. Weary, burdened. Weary, burdened. But I think it's helpful to take a moment to go back to the beginning, not of the chapter, or of the New Testament, but where it all started. Genesis 2, 3, and God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. We see that God demonstrates that rest is appropriate and right. Appropriate and right. If God himself rested from his work, then it should not amaze us that we also need to rest. We are all aware that rest most certainly is a practice that we all need to do. You see, if nothing else, it enables us and provides us opportunities for physical, mental, emotional, and even spiritual recuperation. And it also enables us to prepare for more activity. How many times have you felt, do you know what, I'm running on empty? How many times? And what happens is, our focus gets lost, the stress levels rise. I listened to Electro 365 this morning, and if you've got the app, maybe you've heard this already. If you aren't resting, you are a slave to something. If you aren't resting, you are a slave to something. And I just resonated with it, got me thinking about that, and thinking, actually, okay. And actually, that can affect just as much somebody in the Christian faith as somebody outside of the Christian faith. Because we think, oh yeah, I'm right. That's not a problem for me. It is a problem for us. It is. If you aren't resting, you are a slave to something. Now, as I studied the passage today, I came to see that Jesus gave these words thinking primarily about religious stress. If you look in the commentaries, it's all about that. People were getting stressed out trying to follow God. I've never thought of that before. When we try to follow, we're always thinking, I'm not doing this quite right, or I'm not praying enough, or I'm not reading my Bible enough, I'm not loving enough. the Jewish people back when Jesus, they were doing exactly the same stuff. Trying to follow God. 613 commandments and lots of rules and regulations. Thank goodness I've not got 613 commandments that I've got to try and keep. Do you know what? Our Jewish brothers and sisters, they are still doing this, trying to 613 commandments. There was no sense of closeness or intimacy with God. Just an overwhelming imposition of must. You must do this. You must do that. And God was not pleased. Yet within our reading from Matthew, Jesus offers an invitation to all to come to him and discover that he will give you rest. Not might, not possibly, he will give you rest. As I shared in the notice sheet this week, he uses an illustration of a yoke, and that we are able to take his yoke, a yoke that fits perfectly and is light. A yoke was carved from a bit of wood that straddled a pair of animals. A young ox often, and a partner with a more experienced ox. And though it straddles both, the older, more experienced ox, I said, would be carrying the weight and responsibility, and through the yoke, guide the younger ox. Perhaps this feels like, well, it doesn't seem that restful, because they're out working, they're ploughing a field. How restful is that? However, I want to suggest as we consider God offering rest, from these verses, rest comes when we seek to live lives under Jesus' control. For true rest comes as we submit to him and allow him to direct our lives. It's about obedience. If we are obedient to his direction, the stresses of the world will fade. You see, if we say he is Lord, if we say Jesus is Lord, he is Lord. We are subject to his lordship. Jesus says, come to me. He doesn't say, go to God. He says, come to me and you will find rest. It's a rest where we can find peace. You don't have to go through A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You just go to him. In this day and age, when it seems all of us have some sort of burden to bear, some sort of trouble or problem, this text brings us some assurance that we are not alone with these burdens. God is offering rest. There are many of us who face the burden of bodies that don't do exactly what they're meant to be doing. Others face the prospect of living life alone after the death of a loved one. The burden of coping with this world all alone can be a very large one to bear. Financial struggles. Trying to manage, do I put the heating on or am I feeding my family? Still others face burdens of making choices in this world, wondering what they will do with their lives. And that's especially true for younger generations, isn't it? Where they're going, what do I do? And as parents, we say, you need to be doing this. Because we love our kids and we want the best. But actually, sometimes we say, look, do you know what? Sharon became a teacher at 40. She trained at 40. So I want to tell you, you might think, crap, what am I doing for my life? Do you know what? You can get to 40 and still have a fulfilled life doing something that you find really interesting. Sharon's life before that was great. Okay, I'm not saying it wasn't. She trained, she worked for Kodak before, and then she had children, and then she stopped, but she's found a new passion. So we might go, oh, I'm 18, 19, I'm 25. Oh, what am I meant to be doing? Or life chucks things at you and you're thinking, well, actually, that's not quite what I was going to be doing. All I want to say is that we need to give it to God. Give it to God. If you're going, what's life all about? Give it to God. There are other sorts of burdens too. Burdens of sin, temptation, guilt. We are in a world where guilt affects the masses, not just in church. And in fact, the problem is that in church we try to keep it secret. Where this should be a space where people can go, the broken, isn't it meant to be, there's that phrase, isn't it? This is meant to be a hospital for the hurting. Which therefore means we need to sometimes have to be a bit real. Because people walk in and go, oh crap, I'm not like them, I better leave. Perhaps I need to be saying, do you know what? Just to say, I'm struggling with anger at the moment. I'm not. But maybe I need to, you know, we need to be real. If you're in your small groups, you need to say, do you know what? I'm struggling at the moment. I'm just having a sense that I don't feel God loves me. We're very good, because we're British, at putting on a brave face. The church in Africa, they are real. The church in Argentina, they are real with one another. This idea of carrying a burden, they've got it, because they go, we'll walk with you. We've got to begin to start sharing some of our burdens. You might want to go with something lighter first, if you want to just, if you think, actually, yes, that's true. When our daughter wanted to help me work, she used to help in the garden. We used to do things. At one point, I had to put a step in, so she wanted to help. So I gave her, right, you help me do this. So we got the spade together, and she was like, she was doing it, but actually it was the weight that I am that caused the, do you know what I mean? To go into the ground to pull it out. If you've got a child that wants to help you carry a chair, you don't say, there you are, off you go. What you tend to do is you get carry it with them. They then are lifting it, but you're taking the weight. You take the weight. God does that. When he says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened and weighed down, he's saying, come to me, because actually, I will help you. I will help you. You see, Jesus, when he's talking about being yoked to him, he walks beside us. He will help carry the load. Have you stopped and thought like that, really, about the fact that Jesus is saying, actually, I've got this yoke, I'll carry with you.
Jesus just asks us, just consent to be carried.
Yeah. Jesus uses the illustration of the ox or the yoke. He says that the yoke that is used in the ox is similar, but he puts the heavy weight on his shoulders. And that's amazing to know that actually, you know, in all the stresses that I have to deal with in life, actually, realistically, I don't have to carry any of it. The problem is, I want to. It's mine. I'm going to hold on to this. This is all, this is me. And especially, I'll tell you, if you're a bloke, you will be really guilty of this. Sorry, I'm being a bit sexist, but I think it's true. Because I've spoken to my friends, male friends, if there's a problem, they need to sort it. I truly believe, it's sort of built into blokes. So, there's a problem for my family. I need to be able to sort this. I need to get this resolved. And it's not just out there. It happens in the church. If there's a problem in my family, I want to make sure I need to be the one. I'm the man of the house. I've got to sort this. You often hear, do you need a crutch? You Christian, you need a crutch. Do you know what? Yeah, I do. Because life's hard. Really hard. And actually, what I'm carrying is completely different to what somebody else is carrying. Actually, there are some people here in this church who are carrying way more than I am. Way more. But they're relying on God. So if you are carrying burdens at the moment, I want you to know this morning that this scripture says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. And if that's you, you've got to come to Jesus. You've got to come to Jesus. Allow him to take the weight. You might be thinking, well, why has Nick been talking with a rucksack on his back? Well, it was a visual illustration. I'm waiting for my other part of the visual. Here he comes. It's about the weight. We all walk around, don't we? We all walk around. We all carry these things. We don't let it go. Do you know what? That's so much better. The reality is, it is so much better. You need to know this, everybody. Because I know that there are people out here going, yeah, but it's mine, I've got to carry it. Do you know what? The expectations of the world, the stresses of the world, impact us so much. And I know that some people have got really big responsibility in their work. Doesn't mean you don't have to give it, you can still give it to God. Because God's God. Jesus says, come to me. He doesn't say, get yourself sorted, then come. He just says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. What a God that is. What a God. Maybe some of you go, oh, I don't even believe in that God. Well, okay. But I want to live a life, I'll believe in that God. Even if, I'll tell you, if there are some, do you know if it's, I don't know. I have faith. And that's what faith is, believing in something that you don't see. And also, even if it's not, I'd much rather live believing that than not. So I'm nailing my colours to the mast. I love Jesus, he loves me, and I'm going to live for him for the rest of my life, and I'm going to give him the task of carrying my burdens. I am. And I think you too, you need to do the same. You need to do the same. Because his yoke is easy and light. He says that in scripture. I'm going to read something from Isaiah 40, 28-31. It says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen. This book is not outdated. This book is relevant for today. You will be walking with people who you know and love, who will be exhausted. who will be weary and burdened, just like you. Chris took that from me, and I feel so much better. God wants to take these burdens from you. He just says, come. Now the problem is that we're too arrogant, too cocky. I've got this. Do you know what we haven't? We haven't. So I would urge you to come. Because his burdens, or his yoke, is easy and his burdens are light. In terms of what you want to do with this for the rest of this week, I think you just need to come before God on your knees and say, God, if there's burdens, I want to give them to you. And I think that's the challenge for this week, is that you get down on your knees, if you're able. If you're not, then you can sit in a chair. And just say each morning, God, you know my burdens. And release them to him. Let's stop grabbing. Let's start releasing. Can you do that this week?
Yeah.
It's not a difficult challenge, is it? And I believe if we start doing this, God will take it up and say, oh, I'm here. You will have a sense of closeness with God. We're gonna pray and we're gonna finish. Lord God, we recognise that you say, come, come. You don't put any conditions on it. You don't say, get yourself sorted first. Go and deal with that. Go and deal with it. You just say, come. So I'm issuing that call now, Lord. I'm saying, come, come. All who are weary, receive the rest that Jesus offers. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who restores, that you do build rest in. And I pray that we would be a people that would recognize that we would rest, that we wouldn't just go, I've got so much to do that I can't even rest. Lord, I pray that we would build rest into our days. But more importantly, I pray that we would come to you and recognize in giving you our burdens, saying you are the one in control. Yes, you will therefore support us, walk with us in life, and help us in carrying these burdens. Lord, you are great. You are great. So we sing. We praise your name. We respond.